going to speak tonight on the subject, Is Your God Dead? We've had a lot of hullabaloo lately in the paper, and all us fundamentalists have been making fun of the preachers that God's dead, but ours seems to be dead. And they never would have written those books and got that theology if we people who claim to believe in God hadn't been getting along so well without Him most all the days of our lives. Last night, just afternoon on the phone, your beloved pastor said, oh, his heart's cracked. We planned to have several churches last fall, wanted to go together, but his heart cry was that the Lord might visit this valley. Every place in America is about the same shape. This generation, they don't know whether there's a living God or not. Nothing much been happening lately. That man couldn't explain himself or explain away. It's up to us. If we do serve a living God, this is the time of demonstration that we can get in touch with Him. And things will happen, because He isn't an absent monarch. He's gone off and left us some rules to go by. Make it the best way we can, but He is a living God according to the teaching of the Bible. Tonight, is your God dead? Let me speak to you from the first six verses of the 19th chapter of the last book of the Bible. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. They finally made it. I hope I'll be in that gang. And as they got there, seemed to be tickled to death they were, for this great voice of much people in heaven, as John was able to look out in the future, they are saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. And they are saying, salvation is unto the Lord our God. And glory is unto the Lord our God. And honor is unto the Lord our God. And power is unto the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Salvation is from the Lord. Glory belongs to Him, and He says He'll give it to none other. Honor is His birthright and His right, and we cannot claim a share of it. And power is in Almighty God, hallelujah. And they're shouting hallelujah for something else, for true and righteous are His judgments. Hallelujah, they're saying, God, You've done right. This is a picture projected of the time when the last battle's been fought and the war has come to a conclusion, and Satan is in his place, and now false Christianity, religion, receives the stroke of God's judgment, and God's people who suffered and seen their loved ones trapped in the religion of every generation which wishes to make men God and bypass Jesus Christ and His cross and His throne. God's going to deal with it, and God's people are going to say hallelujah, for true and righteous are His judgment. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. Never was such a religious day as today. I'm glad to hear you're secularizing, but nearly every one of those seculars will go into a very religious home. And they've got their beliefs, and they've got their doubts, and they've got their security. And most of it's false. But they won't find it out till it's too late. And if you invade this community, you'll find out that while sin may slay its thousands. Religion will slay its tens of thousands. And the door will be closed in your face more by people who are as soundly religious as anybody could be without Christ. But the day's coming when that situation's going to be dealt with, and the people who suffer at the hands of this great religious monster that has characterized every day and seems to be headed up to its crisis in your day and mine, God's people will shout hallelujah when that monster is destroyed. Verse 3 says it's going to be a terrible destruction, and they said hallelujah, and the smoke of this old religious monster rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne. Praise God, when the wind-up time comes, God will still be on the throne. Oh, yes. Yes, saying hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering. This don't sound like a little old defeated group, does it? No. You mean tell me God turned his back on my Lord Jesus Christ and hung him down on that cross, and he's not going to be victorious? You're crazy, man. When the wind-up time comes, it's going to be a voice of great multitude, the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thunderings, all joining together saying hallelujah. Why? For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. It's good to look in the back of the book and find out how the war is going to end, brother. That's right. That's right. Now, as a boy, I started school when I was 4 years old. I graduated from high school when I was 14, entered college when I was 15, wore knee pants. When in those days, nobody here old enough to remember that. But I did. They call me Pee-wee. If you do, I'll bop you one. But I was a little advanced. My dad's a school teacher, and I cheated, made 2 or 3 grades at a time. And so I got up to algebra, and it was hard for my little Pee-wee brain. I had a lot of difficulty. I don't remember. I stole, borrowed, or begged, or got a hold of a key, they called it. I don't remember the circumstances. And I'm confessing it wasn't right. And I'd get a hold of a problem in algebra, and I'd just work, work, work. The thing wouldn't come out. I'd get my key out and look in the back of the book and get the answer. And wasn't no trouble, brother. After you got the answer, you'd work them out easy if you know the answer. Oh, praise the Lord. After these things, I heard a great voice of some people in heaven saying hallelujah. And when the wind-up time comes, they'll be shouting hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Don't look like it now, does it? Look like the devil's got the world by the tail on a downhill pull, and the whole outfit's going to explode before I can get through preaching. But when the wind-up time comes, they'll worship God who still sits on the throne, and they'll shout hallelujah, for God's still reign. We need desperately a deep down hallelujah in the soul. The dear sainted Spurgeon, whom we quote so much now, said, your profession may be real or your profession may be false. But whether real or false, it will be tested. And of course, the preacher always says, if there ever was a time, but that's the God's truth, if there ever was a time when the saints of God, not being tested so much by martyrdom now, it'd be a whole lot easier to die than to be unnoticed and passed by and taken for granted like we are now. Nobody's mad at God's people now. We haven't got enough power with God. I couldn't preach a sermon. Somebody didn't want to shoot me. Call me up after the service, coming down to shoot you. I've had to have armed guards keep men from fighting me while I was preaching. I have. But I can't make nobody mad now. They just ignore us. And that's the most terrible thing on earth. Terrible thing on earth. You go ring doorbells and nobody gets very mad or very glad. You talk to men about the soul and they usually agree with you and go on that way. And if you're a sensitive soul like I am deep inside, you've played out a long time ago. If you didn't have a deep down hallelujah, way down deep inside, that'll help you to see daylight, not lose hope, and spit on your hand, spit in the devil's face, and tell him to go on back to hell, that God is on the throne, and everything's all right. A deep down hallelujah in your soul. This is a time when Satan's trying to wear out his saints. You've got a problem on your hands. See whether or not you're going to resist the power of Satan about your beloved past. Paul never did get to go to the little town of Colossae, but he wrote the saints down there, and he said, I'm in jail. But I said, I've entered into the conflict that you're in, and I'm wrestling with the living God in your behalf. We're going to have to finally get it out of our heads and our hearts that two generations have come and gone since God's people have faced up to the satanic conspiracy that's hidden up in your day and mine to wipe the name of Jesus Christ off of the face of the earth. And since he cannot get at the person of the Son of God, because he's at the right hand of God and Satan can't get to him, he's going to wear out the saints of God and leave no testimony here on this earth. Sure as you put in half high in 5 years, we don't learn how to resist the devil and God don't intervene. But it's going to be up, brother. We need a deep down hallelujah in our soul. When all hell's popping, when the battle's going against us, been going against us ever since I've been a preacher, brother. This September I've been preaching 41 years, 37 of them as a hitchhike evangelist. Not many men stay in evangelism that long. I'm not a novice, brother. I've been at this quite a while. I've seen them rise and shine and dine and flip and run off with a man's wife or rob a bank or quit the ministry or something. When the new wears off and the show is over and we're down to cornbread and sow belly, in the conflict that it's pleased God to place us in our generation, we need to be able way down deep in our souls, say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need a deep hallelujah about the past. We need to have a Damascus Road experience where we are confronted by, meet up with,
conquered by a living Redeemer and chains with a chain that keeps on changing until we awake in the likeness of the Son of God. Everybody else claims to be a Christian, plays out after a while, brother. Goes off at some sort of a tangent, turns its back completely and thumbs its nose at God. 10,000 things happen to him. Only the person who has met the living Lord, as the Holy Spirit causes him to leap up from the pages of the New Testament, and he's reincarnated and made flesh and bone of your bone and spirit of your spirit. And a man's renewed after the image of God with a renewal that never quits until God gets done with him. Be able to say hallelujah for a past meeting with and a present walk with the living Lord, from whom all power to change men and women comes. Even so, down in the southern city, a prominent banker made profession of faith one night in meetings. About 3 days later, he came to him and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I believe with all my heart God's changed me and saved me." And he said, "I want you to tell me what I ought to do now, what I ought to say, what I ought to tell people." I said, "Don't tell them anything." He said, "What?" I said, "Just keep your big mouth shut." "Well," he said, "I thought I ought to tell everybody." I said, "Well, if you have to tell them, it wouldn't do any good." I said, just go on. Just go on. Wouldn't it be foolish? Come up here, you Yankees, about the 1st of April sometime, snow's all gone, and the trees are budding out, and the grass is beginning to leaf out, and I get up on the radio, and I said, I've come down from down south up here to you ignorant Yankees to tell you spring's on the way. You don't have to announce spring. It announces itself. Isn't it silly? Tell these folks now, the Lord save you tonight. Oh, yeah. Well, be sure and tell somebody tomorrow. Well, honey, if you have to tell it, wouldn't do any good. If they can't find it out till you tell them. I said, well, you just don't say anything. What we need now is not so much talk as somebody being something. And if you've met the Lord, and a little of his glory shining in your face, and a little of his joy is in your heart, I wouldn't be surprised if it won't get out on you. It will, too, brother. It will. You can't keep it boxed up. All this time around, now you ought to get saved, then you ought to be baptized, then you ought to make public confession, then you ought to tell everybody, and you ought to keep your big mouth shut until somebody does like they did in the New Testament and come up to you and say, "I'd love for you to give me a reason for the hope that's in you." The Scripture talks like that, don't it? And so a few days later, that banker came back, happy as he had good sense. He said, "Preacher, I'm about the happiest man this side of heaven." I said, "What's taking place?" He said, "This morning, my secretary of some 30-odd years, my private secretary, she was taking shorthand as I was dictating some letters, and she got to crying, and finally she stopped." And I said, "What's the matter?" She said, "I'm crying. I can't go on." Said, "Would you mind if I ask you a question?" And he said, "Certainly not." She said, "What's happened to you? What's happened to you?" Oh, that's it, dear one. That's it. What's happened to you? That's it. Hallelujah for a past experience and change that keeps on renewing its glow and its power until more and more it can be said of God's people, Christ being formed in you. We need a hallelujah about the future. The future. I guess it's impolite to talk about heaven now, but this story tells us about some people who made it to heaven. They're tickled to death to get there. The prospect of glory. Hallelujah. The prospect of God's judgment on religiosity. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the membership of Grace Baptist Church in Fairborn, Ohio, could quit being religious for a while now and just act like what you are, sinners, and your only hope is that God shows mercy to sinners. I don't blame lost people from running from us church people. We are so blooming religious. And it's all just a put-on. You ain't worth the powder and lead it take to kill you. All of you put together haven't got enough holiness about you to sink a gnat. You're just old hell-deserving, hell-bound, save for the grace of God, sinners. And your flesh, your religious flesh, is hateful to God, and you haven't got a thing on God's earth to commend you except the mercy and grace of God. And the worst old sinner in this town is just a picture of you without God's mercy. And I kind of wish we'd quit being so all-fired religious. So full of convictions and do's and don'ts to scare everybody off. And if the folks did what we tried to get them to do, they'd just be reformed sinners and go on to hell. But I'm under conviction this morning about the fact that my Lord was a friend of sinners. There was something about Him. There's so little about us. You know, somehow or another, the old down-and-outs in Jesus' day thought they detected in Him somebody wouldn't jump on them with both feet, but would pick them up and say, "Go thy way and sin no more." Throw your convictions away for just a little while, dear ones, and let's try to be just a little bit like the Lord. The religious people didn't like Him, but the publicans and sinners flocked around and didn't run from Him. God help us. He wasn't trying to correct them. He was trying to redeem them and save them. And that's the biggest thing, isn't it? Religion's going to be dealt with. God's going to still be on the throne. There's going to be a lot of folks in glory. I want to be one of them. And then we need a deep down hallelujah about the present. Oh, God has in the past. Maybe we'll again. I'm scared, folks. I don't mind going preaching to a bunch of folks and everybody come up and say, "Now, enjoyed your sermon," or "Didn't we go on home and let the world go to hell?" But I summon you this morning. You've asked me. Thank you for it. You're so wonderful. It's sweet. You're fast. But you said we're going to get in here and see whether our God's alive or not. And whether He'll answer prayer and do mighty works and get the attention of the people you put these circlers in. They don't pay much attention to the circlers, will they? You know that. Oh, and so the devil's not going to like that so much, is he? He can't be everywhere. And if he sees anybody fix to invade his stronghold, he'll call up on long distance this afternoon, get 1,000 more demons to come in here and whip the living daylights out of us. He can't be everywhere. He don't mind us going through the motions. But we are in for the licking of your life for a victory won, brother. It's not going to be neutral. But I remind you that it's been 226 years since God visited America with what we call revival. 226 years since Jonathan Edwards' second revival. That's the only one we ever had in America. Everything since then has been getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And we're about run out of capital now, and we're about out of beans and cornbread. And to even dare to expect to the living, God would pay a little attention to a little handful of folks like you and me in a great thriving center Well, everybody's got religion, most of them without Christ. Boy, we sure must be brave or foolish ones. And I say to you, we need to encourage one another in the Lord and build up our faith together. For if God visited America once, hallelujah, who knows but what he'll do it again. From September of this year, God willing, until the 1st of March next year, I've agreed to go to the city of Houston, Texas. I just got back from there, and we had a touch of revival close last Sunday night. We had a touch of blessing, and there are 20 churches now that got together while I was there. And they said, if we'll put you on 3 radio stations, and will you come for those months? And we'll keep you on there on 3 radio stations, and we'll pool our efforts, and we'll go in this section of the city, and you start preaching in this church, and the other 19 will help all it can, and we'll ring doorbells, and we'll pay for the radio time, and we'll do personal work. And if the lightning strikes, just stay there till the fire goes out. And then, if it doesn't, why, move over into this church over here like they did in Finney's day. And they're all going together, 20 churches. And I've agreed to give them 6 months. They said, you can't come together. You can't get churches to come together in one place. We don't have enough money. But back yonder, Mr. Edward just preached in the church. Mr. Finney preached in little churches. And the fire fell. But this generation going to hell, we're not getting a hearing. And those men, they said, the 20 pastors said, we're in this thing knee deep. Why? They said, we've got churches. We've had big citywide revivals. We've had everything, and nothing's touched this city. And we're daring to pool our resources and prostrate ourselves before God and join hands together, churches of like faith. I don't know what'll happen, but I'm looking forward to it. Oh, if God visited America once, maybe will again, who knows? I just don't see it start here as anywhere. It's got to start somewhere. God help us. We need a deep down hallelujah that if God did it once, maybe he'll do it again. We'll pray to that end. We need a hallelujah in our soul that the promises of the gospel are true. God hadn't shot us a curve. The other day, 3 weeks ago, I was down in Houston, and the long distance, the phone rang, and they finally got my wife. And she finally got to me, and my brother-in-law, 51 years old, just keeled over without any warning out in the state of Montana and left a wife with 2 children, my baby sister. I don't know about the man deep down, but I do know this, brother. If he is anchored to the rock, if he is a weak, imperfect, stumbling, halting, and yet trusting believer in my Lord Jesus Christ, he got a home in the sky. He's touched the glory of God. He's found out the promises of ye and me, brother, that God's not a liar, and that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My brother died 3-4 years ago, and I was away in a meeting, couldn't go to the funeral. Pastor said, Brother Barnett, I'm not going to ask you, but he said, the fire is beginning to break. He said, look how many souls it'll cost you. So I had to let my brother be buried. I continued the meeting. I didn't even go to my baby sister where I was trying to call her on the phone. She said, but I understand. was in a glow of revival down in Houston, and I don't see it very often. So I just had to tell her, your preacher brother can't come. I wonder if I'm going to be able to attend my own funeral. But I say that simply to say this, brother. We're engaged in the business of talking about a God who, through Jesus Christ, His promises are so, brother. And that soul that on Him shall rely. He'll never, no, never desert to His foes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one thing I can ride the river with in this ungodly hour is that the promises of the gospel are so, and that the man or woman who's anchored to the rock Christ Jesus gonna join that crowd of people saying, hallelujah, they've made it to that desired haven, and they're glad. John Bunyan has old faithful get up to the gate of glory. According to John, St. Peter opens the gate, faithful walks in. And faithful said soon as he got inside, he did hear the heavenly choir singing. He said it was the most beautiful music that ever reached his ears. And he did look and he espied the great choir. And he started walking in that direction. And the closer he got, the more beautiful the music. And after a while, he saw there was an empty seat in the choir. And he kept walking, and finally he saw there was some lettering on the choir, on the seat. And he kept walking, and he finally saw that it was his name written on that seat. And he said, I did sit me down and begin to sing, and I never missed the note. He said, I'd been practicing the song, and I knew the tune. They were singing the song of Moses slain by the law, and of the blood healed by the gospel. And he said, I've been singing that blessed experience all the way, and I knew the tune. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The promises of the gospel, he that believeth shall not be condemned. Our truth, let us stand. Our Father, in the blessed name of our wonderful, wonderful Lord, we invite your blessing, benediction, if it can please you, upon this service. We want you to operate on us around here now. Oh, God, be stern with the preacher and thy people. And we beg you to whip us, do anything. Just send a little touch of your glory. Speak to hearts here this morning. Single out such as need to be joined to Christ. Have mercy upon them is our prayer. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. We dismiss it.